No, I don't know if I ever met that man or not, but I've certainly heard the family name before. Our prayers and thoughts are with all who recently have lost loved ones. My mother had 11 brothers and sisters, and she said we all came into the world 1 or 2 years apart, and we're all going out 1 or 2 years apart. Well, those would be timely deaths if you could go in that order. The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to know just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. And so we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Good to be with you again this morning. And I must say, it would be nice to be with you. It was minus 30 here again last night. And I really thought I had a problem with my thermometer, but unfortunately, I believe it's accurate. And so it probably wasn't quite that cold in Vancouver. Anyhow, if you have your Bibles, let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some more thoughts about last days. There seems to be so much turmoil everywhere. The scriptures would put it like this: wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Men's hearts failing them because of fear. Well, you say, what in the world would you do in the last days when all of these things are always around us on every hand? Well, the Bible always has the answer. I don't always know where to turn, but the Bible always has the answer. We're going to read it again this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Please watch your Bibles. Let me read it for you. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you, or I have a last solemn witness before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they, the teachers, will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We'll end our reading there. Last week, we talked about the authority for this witness, this declaration, these instructions that Paul is giving. Remember, Paul won't be used to write in the New Testament anymore. This is it, final words, last sayings, and very important, every word we should hang on and analyze it as though we were Timothy. Now, we're not Timothy. And I know that Timothy has been given some instructions that we can only appreciate by application, because it wasn't written to us. But the principles are there. The instructions are there. He said, I call God for my witness. And then he said, I call the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will remember, the authority is given to him. Jesus said, the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. He is the final judge who sits on the final throne, on the final time in in history, and Revelation 20 and Judges, a right judge, a righteous judge. But we covered that last week. Let's fast forward to verse 2. The witness now itself, let's notice it. It doesn't take Paul many words to explain it. This is the witness. Notice, preach the word. Oh, you mean that's it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mr. Hawkins and Mr. Lennox, John Lennox, had a debate over the word of God some years ago on nationwide TV or international TV. And Richard Dawkins, at the end of the debate, had the last words. Now, John Lennox ended his thoughts by saying, it's all about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Evidently, Richard Dawkins and John Lennox knew each other formally in the educational realm. And Richard spoke very personally to John Lennox at that time. And I remember his words. He said, John, I expected more from you. Like some deep, hidden, secret thought that nobody else had ever announced or made plain. And but John Lennox held his ground firm and stood firm on what? The life, the sacrifice, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, don't ever be intimidated that that is not the truth. Don't ever be intimidated that that is too simple, or certainly you've got a better argument than that. That is the argument. And therefore, Paul, at the end of his life, says to Timothy, take the word of God and preach it. Would I dare say, teach it, share it, pass it on, proclaim it, do it in the marketplace, do it in your kitchen, around a cup of coffee. Pass it on at school, pass it on at work, pass it on where your great privilege in life is to pass on the word of God. How did you get saved? You got saved by hearing the word of God. What's going to sustain you in life? Well, it's the word of God. What's going to endure time and eternity? Well, it is the word of God. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let anyone despise your use of it. Be careful to proclaim it, stand on it, live by it, grasp it, never give it up, hold fast. And in two ways, let me share this with you. Preach, share, pass on, continue on to proclaim the word of God in two ways. The living word, the written word. And in some ways, there's hardly any difference. The Bible is the living word of God. In a sense, the Lord Jesus certainly is the living word of God. In the beginning was the word, John 1:1. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Who do you think that is? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And so the witness is to take that message, take that person. It's your life's work. You say, well, I'm not Timothy. I'm not a preacher. No, but you're a Christian if you know the Lord Jesus. And you are a witness. That's what the Lord Jesus said about his disciples. You are witnesses for me, to me, about me. Go into the world and witness. Well, this is no different by application. you and I are to preach, teach, proclaim, share the word. Now, notice it doesn't stop there. He says, be ready in season and out of season. I find that a little bit convicting. I don't know if you do or not. The suggestion here is, let me put it this way. I have a printer here in my office. A printer, you're going to print something. It's a printer, and I leave it on all the time. I never shut it off. But every once in a while, it goes to sleep by itself somehow. I don't really put it to sleep, but it just goes to sleep. And then when I get ready to use it, it has to warm up. And I go, oh my goodness, I'm in a hurry. I got to go. I got a meeting. I need to print this. And I go, go. And it's not ready. It's not instant. It's not prepared. Now, some years ago, when I was in the reserves, the National Guard in Mississippi, we had a national alert, and we were put on, are you listening, standby. Now you say, what is standby? Well, standby means we all had to go to our post, which was a big military warehouse right there in our little town in Mississippi. And we all got there and we all had our army dress on and we had all of our gear, the Jeeps and the armored personnel carriers and the tanks were all started. They were lined up in the parking lot on formation. We were on standby. We were issued everything that we needed. And when you're on standby, you're not asleep. You don't have to wake up. There's no interim time at all. And then this is show you how long ago it was. There was a landline in the commanding officer's office. And at the other end of that landline was a red phone. Yeah, red. And that red phone had a direct line to Washington, D.C., to the President of the United States. And when we're called on standby, everything is ready. The only thing left to do is march. The only thing left to do is pull those tanks out. The only thing left to do is drive out of the compound. Everything's there. Everything's ready, everything's running. All we needed to do was for that red phone to ring on his desk and at the other end say, go. This is the emphasis of this word. Be instant, be ready. No time to warm up, no time to gather your material, no time to load the trucks. No time. This same word by meaning is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You might remember where it's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus. And it says, in a moment of time at the last trump. You remember that? It talks about the last trump. The Roman army moved on the sound of trumpets, okay? One trumpet do this, another trumpet do that, and everybody's in formation. Everybody's ready to go. And when you heard the phone call from Washington, when you heard the last trump, you moved. This is how we are to prepare to proclaim the word of God. Peter would put it like this, be ready to give an answer. An account, a reason of the faith that is in you. Be ready. How many of us have not been ready? Oh, Lord, I got to raise my hand first. I mean, it's unbelievable. You think, well, I'm going to get ready. And then you're caught off guard. This is the last words of Paul. Preach the word. Be instant. You're on standby. Everything is prepared. You are ready to go. All we need is the opportunity. That's all we need. We're ready to do it. He goes on to say, we're to do this in season and out of season. In season and out of season. Would I dare make that so simple? When you expect it and when you don't expect it. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When the circumstances have built up to this great opportunity and I take it, or whether I'm just walking through the park one day and my shoestring breaks, I stop to tie it and I have another opportunity. It is unbelievable. In season and out of season. The reference here is at all time. You ever been awakened out of sleep at night for an opportunity to preach the word? Oh, I have. I'm learning it's hard to go to bed early. Did you know that? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I got to go to bed. I got to get some sleep. So I go to bed early. What happens? Three phone calls. That's all. Three. Well, maybe four. I don't know. And people say, I hope I didn't get you up. The problem is you're too embarrassed to say that you already went to bed. Oh, no. Everything's all great. No, you didn't get me up at all. No, I didn't get up. The phone's right beside my bed. I'm not lying. Okay. Be ready. Now, just quickly, let me give you a couple of things to attach this with. Verse 2. Now, notice it now. We're going to be ready. Okay. Instant, in season, now. Then here's what we're to do. We are to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now, it's one thing to be ready. Are you listening to me? It's another thing to do it. Okay, I'm ready. I'm prepared. Give an answer. I'm prepared to witness the living word, the written word. I got it down. I'm in tune. I'm in step. Blow the trumpet. I'm ready to march. Oh, what will I do? What will I do? What would I say? How will I say it? Well, the scriptures again give us some help. Convince. And now notice this word reprove or convince. Bring to proof. The idea is correction and conviction. Point it out. Deal with the problem. Now you say, look, my neighbor is so shy. If I went and I tried to do something, my neighbor, she'd never come back in my house again. Listen, we understand that. Your neighbor doesn't come to your house, so you get out a soapbox and you stand on top of it and you grab your Bible and you start saying, you're going to hell if you don't trust Christ as your... Wait a minute, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about you be ready when that is necessary. You be ready to point out sin. You see, we don't like to do that. That is not popular. But if there's no sin, why do you need a savior? If there's no consequences of sin or hell, what's Jesus doing suffering on the cross? He pays this humongous price and it doesn't matter. Folks, give your head a shake. This is the real deal. This is where it has to happen. You've got to pull these words out of your mouth in humility and in total surrender to the Spirit of God, but you must tell the truth. Convince, bring to proof, rebuke, show them how bad it is. Tell them how bad it is. Tell them what the scriptures say about how bad it is. And then, of course, exhort, comfort, encourage them, listen, to do the right thing. Do it with long suffering. Don't be in a hurry. God's never in a hurry. I don't think God's ever been in a hurry. It took him 6 days to create the earth. He wasn't in a hurry. He could have just said, earth and everything that's in it, heaven, everything that's in it, universe, just pop into existence. He didn't. He meticulously worked his way through creation, long-suffering, and with doctrine. You know what that means? Don't tell them you think. Don't tell them I believe. You tell them with the Word of God. Every Bible teacher, every Sunday school teacher ought to stand in front of those kids and say, this is the Bible. This is the Word of God, and teach from the Bible. Our time's up, maybe even almost a little up, too much up, over. Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, it's been a delight to be with you. I'm going to make a note that this is where we are. I don't have a clue when I'm coming back. But when I come back, we might actually all remember this, and we can pick up with this again. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Yes, rebuke, exhort, correct, with long suffering and doctrine. Why? We'll talk about that next time. Father, thank you for reminding us of the great privilege of being put in trust with the gospel, the Word of God of our Lord Jesus. Bless these dear people and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.